ॐ ध्यायामोदबलावकुन्दनपतिं तेजोमयीनैष्टिकीं स्निग्धापाङ्गविलोकिनीं भगवतीं मन्दस्मितश्रीमुखीं वात्सल्यामृतवक्षिणीं सुमधुरं सङ्कीर्तनालापिनीं श्यामाङ्गीं मधुसिक्तसूक्तिम् अमृतानन्दात्मिकामीश्वरीम् नित्यं निरन्तरानन्दं चिद्घनं ब्रह्मनिर्भयम् श्रुत्या तर्कानुभूतिभ्याम् अहमस्म्यद्वयं सदा साक्षी सर्वान्वितप्रेयान् अहं नाहं कदाचन परिणामपरिच्छेद परितापैरुपप्लवात् साक्षी सर्वान्वितप्रेयान् अहं नाहं कदाचन परिणामपरिच्छेद परितापैरुपप्लवात् साक्षी सर्वान्वितप्रेयान् अहं नाहं कदाचन परिणामपरिच्छेद परितापैरुपप्लवात् Yeah, so in the previous shloka, Lakshmidhara spoke about aham or the self not being deham na devu nendriyam chaham na prano na mano nirdihi. Any of like deham, not the body, not the mind, because mamata parirabdhatvat akridatvat idam diyaha. So idam and mama. So this and mine is like objectifies these objects. These objects are experienced as this and mine. These objects are all of these deham, indriyam, etc. Therefore, they are not the Atman, because Atman is aham, whereas all of these are this or mine. So, whatever we call as this and mine is not I, because I perceive an object. So, when I perceive this, so I call it this. If I am not related to it, I call it this car. And if it is mine, I say my car. So that means such an experience means that I am not those objects. So I am not the object. I am just an experiencer of whatever is experienced as this and mine. So there is a doubt like that. That is fine. It is fine that all of these are not the self. I am not all of these, as you say, I am not all of this. So I am not, or I as the self is not the body, not the mind, not the prana, not the indriyas. But what about the ahankaram? Because ahankaram is experienced as I, even as the self I. So what is the difference between ahankaram and self I? So that is what Lakshmidhara answers here. So he, in a way, he deals with ahankaram differently than other things, because ahankaram is also experienced as I, even as the self is experienced as I. So both are experienced in the same way. So when something is experienced in the same way, two objects are experienced in the same way, then you have to find out some other way of differentiating them. So if there are two people standing in front, and one is this person and one is my friend, then there is no confusion. It is easy to distinguish both. But like, let's say that one person is my friend and the other person is also my friend, then there should be some other way of differentiating, which is like name. Oh, this is A, this is B. A my friend, B my friend. So similarly, ahankaram. So ahankaram is like really tough to differentiate from the Atman. So that's why Shankara calls it as adhyasam, or something which is naisargiko yam lokavyavahara. It is lokavyavaharam. It is we see experience or like we see people using the term I and like not meaning the self but meaning or denoting the ahankaram very casually or naturally. So naisargikam means very natural, very automatic. So this shloka, Lakshmidhara, negates the I self from the I ahankaram, so which continues for two or three shlokas. So put in Balakrishna Nair's words, like jiva or ahankaram can become the self I. So ahankaram can become the self I if ahankaram is devoid or ahankaram is deprived of raga dvesham or bheda chinta or dual notion. So ahankaram itself is based on dual notion. So ahankaram or I, when I say I, so it is not my or mine, but I. When I say I differentiate myself from the entire world. So when I say I, automatically there are like two categories created. So one is me and the other is everything apart from me. So, and this duality or this is duality, individual, like a person individualizes or a person creates an individuality and then separates himself from the rest of the world. So that is why aham or ahankaram or I is more important than even anything else. So my friend is important but is not more important than me. Because first differentiation starts with ahankaram. So that's why Ramana Maharshi used to say that aham thought, aham ayam kuto bhavati chinvata. So ahankaram or aham thought is the first thought that arises. So that is where duality gets created. So as a person might know that I am Brahma Asmi or I am Brahman, a person might be doing a lot of sadhana, japa, tapa, dhyan, and any type of like tirthadanam, vratas, a lot of karmas, dhajan, and all of those, even Vedantic Shravanam. So a person might be doing Vedantic Shravanam or even Mananam, but ahankaram, it has to go away by constant contemplation, trying to get rid of raga dvesham. So that is the basis of differentiating ahankaram and the aham, or just pure aham, which is the self. So it is simple, it is kind of simple in theory to split ahankaram from the self, because raga dvesham, remove raga dvesham and immediately it is things are solved. So it is like telling, okay, H2O, so put like two amounts of hydrogen, one amount of oxygen, and then water is created. So in theory it is kind of very simple, put both together and it will become water. Sodium and chloride, mix sodium and chloride, it becomes sodium chloride, which is salt. Yeah, very away, please. Okay, which is salt. So like that gets created very easily, it's kind of simple. H2 and O, put it very simple. So cloning, human cloning, why? Take some DNA, take a DNA strand and then multiply it or let it multiply under restricted or controlled environment, and then it becomes a cloned or cloning of a human being. So it is simple. In theory it is kind of very simple, but when it comes to practice or when it comes to implementation, that's when we realize that H2 and O, it's not simple. Like we can just say H2 and O under desirable or suitable conditions it becomes water, but what is that suitable condition? Suitable condition is not that simple to create. So concept of vacuum, create a vacuum, it is very simple to even imagine. Or like we can imagine, oh, vacuum, oh, there is nothing. So it's kind of simple to imagine, but it's not simple to create vacuum. Creating vacuum means like not even like a bit of air. So it's kind of very tough. It's air is present everywhere. So remove air completely, that is vacuum. So it's not easy. H2O is not easy. If people were like H2 plus O is very simple in theory and it is simple in practice, then Chennai won't suffer from water problems. Like the entire world is now suffering. Though 2/3 of the world is filled with water, still people are suffering to get water in many places. People have to use So purifying water. What do you do? Simple, put some alum in water and get purifying, or pass it through a distiller. So that can be done on a mass level as well. So theory, it is kind of simple, but why do people still buy bottled water? Why do people not use the tap water or water they directly get? So in theory, sea water, just take sea water, store it in a container for 2 or 3 days, then the salt gets at the bottom, salt gets settled at the bottom of the water, and then take the top part. Simple in theory, but it's not as simple in implementation. The same applies to ahankaram as well. So ahankaram and aham self, the self, and the ahankaram or the ego are so similar. Their similarities are so much that we cannot differentiate them that easily. So we have to use lot of mananam and then constant assertion over and over again that I am not the ahankaram, I am the self. And even when a person concentrates or contemplates that I am not the ahankaram, I am the self, it may be not the self that is contemplating, it may be the ahankaram that is contemplating, and it will say I am the self, but it will not be the self, it will be the ego. Ego in disguise of the self. So it is simple because both are I, both are experienced as I, and add to it that self, experience of the self is not there for everyone. So nobody experiences self, and even though everyone experiences it in deep sleep, but still that people don't know that what they experience is the self. So that means self is completely unknown, ahankaram is known. So trying to differentiate becomes a real Herculean task. So, and also, like, we can also say that that which is known, that which is close, or that which is experienced, it's easy to believe it than experiencing something, or like than believing something which we haven't experienced. Like when we are traveling, it's easy to believe a person who says, okay, go straight and turn right, if that is the destination. So we remember it, we forgot it, somebody reminded it, so it's easy. Whereas if somebody says, like, it's a new road, we don't even know, it is tough to believe, though the self is experienced. Puranam, Shankara says, Puranam is always there. So aham, asmi, sada, bhami is all there. That's all in theory. It's differentiating. Till now, whatever was spoken about is all, like, in theory and practice, it is very easy. But what Lakshmidhara is speaking now is not simple in practice, simple in implementation. Theoretically, it is very easy, so easy. So we find a lot of people who know Shastras, who know to give detailed analysis or explanation of Shastras. There are many people like who are in a way followers or close to the various Shankara Mats like Kanchi and Shringeri. So who we can see them posting in various blogs, various sites, groups and all. So all those people, they are very good in trying to explain concepts. They are very good in even explaining highly logical concepts, differentiating Advaita, protecting Advaita from other philosophies like Dvaita and Vishishtadvaita. But still, all those are just theories, it is not implementation. So this is where this shloka, we enter into a realm of implementation, not just theory. So Lakshmidhara also gives a logic here in order to differentiate the self from the ahankaram. So sakshi sarvan vita prayan aham. So aham, this aham or the self, is sakshi sarvan vita prayan. Sakshi, sakshi means it is a witness, it is just a witness. This self I is a witness. Sarvan vita, which means it is all pervasive, it is present everywhere. So as we earlier said, like that, it is sarvagatam, so it is present everywhere. So the sakshi atman is present everywhere, suprayan, know that. And na aham kadachana, and this self who I am. So aham sakshi sarvan vita praya, know me, myself to be sakshi, to be witness, to be all pervasive. And not na aham kadachana, not the ahankaram. So the second aham is ahankaram kadachana, never it is one with ahankaram. So if we analyze any illusion or any delusion or any case of Brahman where people get deluded, so if we think about all those delusions, are those delusions really possible? So PC Sarkar like disappeared, he made Taj Mahal disappear for a couple of minutes. So is it really feasible? So if we try to analyze it, it's not at all feasible. So water seen in desert, can water really be seen in desert? Okay, the qualities don't match. Even if there are similar qualities, still it's not at all possible. Snake seen in rope, both have similar qualities. Why? The rope also looks like the snake, but their similarity ends. Dissimilarities are more. The snake will move, the rope doesn't move. The snake will hiss, the rope doesn't hiss. The snake will bite, the rope doesn't bite. So dissimilarities are more, but for normal people like who don't apply proper logic, it might seem to be one and the same thing, and thereby delusion starts. So for a person who uses proper mananam, ahankaram and the self are always different. So na aham kadachana, never. Kadachana means never, not at any point of time. I am the ahankaram. So even when a person feels that I am sad, even when a person feels I am very happy, the self is a mere witness. So that is what the first thing a sadhaka has to remember, is the self is a mere witness to everything. So witnesshood, like witnesshood means not getting affected by anything at all. So a witness, a person who experiences or witnesses an accident, he doesn't like cry for the person like who dies or who is in like injured. He doesn't get angry with the person who caused the accident. He's a mere witness. He just like sees it. So that means irrespective of whatever happens, whether one person dies, when one person gets injured, whether both people get died, whether it is a serious accident or a normal accident, the witness is just a witness. So irrespective of whether ahankaram gets happy or sad, so happy state as well as sad state, both are just experiences, or those are qualities of the mind and not of the Atman. So the nature of the Atman is anandam. So the way to differentiate anandam from happiness is, happiness in itself has what? Sorrow in it. Yeah. Ehi samsparshaja bhoga dukkha yonaya evate. So happiness already has sorrow as part of it, whereas the bliss is untainted, because bliss is the nature of the witness. So anytime a sadhaka experiences happiness or sorrow, so one time like I get very happy, one time I get sad, immediately we have to understand that this, I am not any of this. So the moment a sadhaka differentiates himself from the ahankaram by saying I am a witness, immediately like there will be experience of bliss. Experience of bliss is such that like there is no sorrow associated with at all. So we can say there is a sorrow that I want to achieve more. Oh, I experienced bliss, but I lost that bliss. I want to experience more. But that craving doesn't cause any sorrow. That craving only causes more happiness while trying to crave for it. So a sadhaka experiences in samadhi, a person does samadhi and experiences anandam. So when a sadhaka experiences samadhi or in anandam in samadhi, then he craves to enter more and more into samadhi or get that happiness, get that bliss. But any time, so that is why Vedanta says samadhi also like gives a happiness which is a limitation, which is not true happiness, which is एकादाशित्वतो अनात्मा स्याद् आनंदमयो अपि अयम्। फिर याद मार लो जाए, फिर याद है तेरा चैप्टर लाइक मैं हर लम्बन ले हैं। ओके, या सो अहं द आनंदम दैट वी एक्सपीरियंस इज नॉट और हैप्पीनेस वी एक्सपीरियंस इज जस्ट ए रिफ्लेक्शन ऑफ द ट्रू हैप्पीनेस ऑफ द आत्मन। So whenever like a sadhaka gets happiness from samadhi, it is based or it is dependent on environment. So after that a person gets sad. Whereas the anandam that we experience out of Vedantic Shravanam Mananam and Nididhyasanam. Okay. So Nididhyasanam is anandam because a person doesn't get any sorrow out of it. Even when a person thinks or wants to experience more and more, I want it more, I want it more. This moreness or like wanting more will not give any sorrow at all. But like the craving to get more and more, a sadhaka will try to find out how to get it, how to achieve it, and that will not give sorrow at all. Okay, so that is one way to figure out whether a person experiences real bliss or happiness. So the difference is, okay, both are almost similar. A person craves more for more happiness. Ahankaram craves for more happiness. The Atman or a sadhaka craves for nachiriyav. Okay, ahankaram, for ahankaram or like sakshi, or the sadhaka craves for more ananda. So the difference is that a sadhaka who craves nachir. I'm sorry, like this guy is laughing quite a lot. Loafing or laughing, I don't know why. Okay, anyway. So the sadhaka craves for more. Okay, a sadhaka craves for more anandam. So the difference is the more and more a sadhaka craves for anandam, he doesn't get any sorrow. Sorrow is not there. So a sadhaka tries to do more. That's why like even sadhanas, the various sadhanas also, like when a person experiences or tries to do those sadhanas, there'll be like, if it is true sadhana, then a person will not get any sorrow out of either doing it or not doing it. So a sadhaka tries to do more dhyanam. So but if like dhyanam is not possible, if a sadhaka is not able to do dhyanam and like gets sad, then that means it is ahankaram that is thinking that I am doing dhyanam. So it is not with respect to dhyanam, japam, dhyanam, bhajan. All those sadhanas can be done from a perspective of witnesshood. So a true sadhaka, what will a true sadhaka who is a witness do? A true sadhaka will say, oh, bhajan, it doesn't matter, I can do it anywhere. So if bhajan gives me happiness, and if I am not able to do it, like sing outside, I will sing inside the mind. If I am not able to sit and sing, I'll stand and sing, I'll walk and sing. So it is possible. Japam is also possible. Dhyanam. Dhyanam means remembering Ishvara. That is also possible. So that is what differentiates the anandam that a sadhaka gets, whereas compared with the happiness that a ahang or that ahankaram gets in anandam. So if we experience any anandam, that anandam cannot give us any sorrow. Even when we think like we want more and more anandam, that doesn't give us sorrow, but it will only make us do like try to achieve it more and more. We will not be sad at all. So a person will crave, so that at times like we can find that even in ahankaram's case, so a person like will not accept defeat. Like Edison, 1,000 times he got it wrong. So a person like who craves for the goal, like will, whatever happens, he will not become sad at all. But anandam, like it is this cannot be exactly explained. So this the anandam that a sadhaka gets cannot be explained in words as to how the craving for more will be. But we have to remember that such an anandam also, like it is very close. The anandam that a sadhaka gets from sadhana is very close to the Atman, but it is not Atma anandam. So Atma anandam is like where if a person gets Atma anandam, then it will always be there. So irrespective of whether a person is experiencing it or not, irrespective of whatever is the external situation, the mind will always be peaceful, always be happy. So imagine, like or as Shankara says, waveless ocean. So if we remove waves, how can there be any waves in ocean? Waves cannot be created. So if a person experiences that anandam, then it is like viewing desert and like negating water and viewing desert. Once you view desert, where can there be any water? So that anandam, when a sadhaka gets true anandam, then it will always stay as anandam. Of course, these are all like my perspective, so it may be wrong, like you'll have to analyze it. So again, like comparing both, so Vedanta says that when a person experiences worldly pleasure, worldly happiness, then there is a, like when that happiness is lost, so after that there is remembrance of that happiness, smriti we can say in a way. So a person remembers the days when he had long hair and then he cries for it. So there is crying, so it is not remembering, but remembrance leads to sorrow, leads to weeping. Whereas think about the state of a sadhaka experiences anandam or anandam which is very close to the Atman, very close, like maybe the exactly Atma anandam, like almost a glimpse, as Ramana Maharshi says, trance or a glimpse of that anandam. So when a sadhaka gets the glimpse of a anandam, like, oh, you have experienced it. The smile says everything. Okay, so when a sadhaka experiences, let's say we go to Amma's retreat and listen to Amrita Swarupananda singing, so we get an anandam, but the next time, like when we remember it, if there is only one way to figure out as to whether we are the self or the ahankaram, when we remember that anandam, which is Atma anandam, so when we remember that anandam, are we getting sad or are we getting bliss immediately? Obviously, like if we think about Amma or her presence, if a sadhaka is getting sad over like, oh, I can't be with Amma, then sorrow, like if it gives sorrow, then that is not anandam, that's not true bliss or bliss of the Atman. But a true sadhaka will like remember that, and his bliss will, or his or her bliss will increase remembering that. So that is true anandam. So as Narada says, vardhanam, it will pratikshana vardhamanam. So it will increase day by day. So that anandam, like each time that anandam is remembered, it will, like it will increase the peace of the mind, increase the happiness or the state of happiness in one's mind. So that is sakshi bhavam. Of course, all these, like if you cannot understand, just try to like go beyond happiness and sorrow. It is not easy to analyze bliss, like or the glimpse of bliss that we get. So the simple way, our simple way to be a witness is trying to overcome happiness and sorrow. As Amma says, like whenever something good happens, Ishwara's grace. If something bad happens, Ishwara's will, Ishwara Ichha. If something good happens, it is Ishwara Kripa. Ishwara's Kripa is there, Ishwara's Anugraham is there. And whereas if something bad happens, then all falls on Aparna. So if something bad happens, then Ishwara Ichha. Ishwara, like thing is, Ishwara knows everything. So that means something has to happen. Oh Ishwara, this is also your will. This is also what you are giving me. So I will accept it. So Sakshi Sarvan Vita Prayan. So know this aham self to be witness. It will always be blissful. Anytime we tap on to that self state, we will experience bliss. So that's what happens with us, with the glimpse of bliss that a person gets. So it is like tapping. So in India, like cable line is going, so you just tap it. So if you tap it, you'll get cable, and when the cable guy comes, you'll have to untap it and then after some time tap it. So anytime you tap it, you get anandam. So like that is what a sadhaka will experience anytime a sadhaka becomes a witness. So it is not easy to remain a witness at all times, but at least whenever possible, trying to remain. That's what Amma says through many like many ways, that just trying to be open to whatever happens, right? Just trying to embrace situations, as Balakrishna also says, being happy like whatever happens. Just remembering that everything is Ishvara, that is Sakshi Bhavam. When we remember everything is Ishvara, then there is no Bhedam, there is no Dvaitam experienced. So a person doesn't feel any duality. If no duality is felt or experienced in the mind, then there is no Dukkam. If there is no Dukkam, then Ahankaram is not there. There is no Sukham, no Dukkam, because everything is one. If everything is one, then ko moha kaha shokaha, like where can there be delusion, where can there be sorrow, where can there be happiness? There will only be bliss. So anyway, for a sadhaka who analyzes this ahankaram and aham sakshi or the real self is never one with ahankaram. So what happens there is just in adhyasam, superimposition, a person thinks that both are same. So even when snake and rope are seen like together, they are never together, they are never the same. Water and desert are never the same, they can never be the same. It is just an illusion. So then what is, okay, you said witness, ahankar, like aham sakshi is a witness, it is all pervasive, it is everywhere. So two things, like witness, all pervasive. So that means if everything is one Atman and I am just a witness of whatever is happening here. So those two are ways to be the Atman. So sadhana to do Atman is all pervasive nature and witnesshood. So this is also like we can call it as anusandhanam, when a person contemplates on his own nature as I am just a witness, everything is one self. The self is all pervasive. So what about ahankaram? You said ahankaram is not the self. The self is never the ahankaram. Naham kadachana, kadachana. Never am I the ahankaram. So how can you say, like, make such statements? Okay, it is maybe based on the Shruti. Okay, Shruti is fine. It may be based on Shruti. Okay, fine. Maybe based on Anubhavam, that's also fine. But you are writing a logical work, so we need logic. So parinama paricheda paritapair upaplavat. So upaplavat means because. So it is an anumanam given here. So compared, like in anumanam, this should be an example. So here example we will have to say like Brahman. So I am Sakshi. I am the self. So I am the self. I am not the ahankaram, because ahankaram experiences these three. Ahankaram is associated with these three faults. We can say faults for now. These three doshas, and like Brahman, I am not any of those. So I am not like we can say like ghatam. So ghatam or like pot. Pot also has these three faults because it is an object. Ahankaram also has these three faults like an object. Therefore, it is also an object of the Sakshi. It is also an object of the all-pervasive Sakshi. So, Sarvanvita means like... Sarvanvita. Yeah, it is all pervasive. Like all pervasive means experience. Here we have to interpret all pervasive as with respect to the Sakshi. So Sakshi, I am witness, and all pervasive, that means I witness everything. So it is, we can see those two as separate, like witnesshood and all pervasive nature, or we can also like merge or put those two together and say I am a witness of everything. I am a witness of everything because I am all pervasive. I am the substratum. I am just a drashta. I am just a seer of whatever happened. And ahankaram is also an object because ahankaram has these three faults. So do I have these three faults? Is the next question. I don't have any of these faults because in deep sleep I experience myself as blissful. So I don't have any of these three faults. So this argument will be dealt in the next shloka, where Lakshmidhara raises a question as to ahankaram and aham, the sakshi aham, both seem to be together. So these faults also should happen to the self as well. So, but he has given a logic, but still another doubt. So that will be answered through the Sushupti Avastha. But for now, so Aham Sakshi, like the real I is Sakshi, witness, and all pervasive. Whereas Ahankaram has opposite qualities. So Parinamam. So Parinamam means change, constantly changing. Parichedam. Parichedam means limitation. Paritapam. So paritapam means dukkam. So here Tejomay Ananda gives it as afflictions. So afflictions like sorrow and other things. So that is what the commentary gives. Dukkadi. So paritapaihi, paritapam means dukkadi, dukkam, etc. Afflictions of sorrow and like whatever else we can think, pain and all those can be mentioned. So let's compare. So upaplavat, upaplavam means sambandham or association or relation. So here like we have to say association. So ahankaram is associated with parinamam, change, parichedam, limitation, and paritapam, afflictions of dukkham, etc. So the self is sakshi. So sakshi means it's a witness. So if it is a witness, paritapam is ruled out. There is no affliction. Witness means there's no affliction. Witness means not at all affected. The witness protection program, witness, a witness who is protected, he's protected. That means he cannot be touched. Of course, it's not the case with real life. But here the sakshi is a witness, means that there is no paritapam. There is no parinamam as well, because change. Change means this is a witness of even the change. So whatever changes, this is a witness. Witness of even those changes. How do we know this is a witness of all changes? Because starting day one till the end of this birth, we don't we experience all changes. Change of the body, the change of ahankaram, the change of the mind. Everything is experienced by the Atman. If the Atman has to experience these changes, the Atman has to be different from these changes, which Lakshmitara will handle like a little later. Shadvikaravatam Veta Nirvikaroham Anyata. So these vikaras are experienced by me. I experience those vikaras, therefore I have to have be nirvikaram. So if I have to experience movement, I should be without any movement. Unless I am movementless, I cannot experience movement, because I'll be part of movement. So if I have to experience changes, I have to be changeless, else those changes cannot be experience. This is a very simple logic, like it is not specific to Vedanta, specific to anything. If I have to experience or something, then I have to be different from the experience. I have to be a witness. So parinamam or changes are experienced by the witness self. So witness self is without any changes, and sarvanvita means all pervasive. I am all pervasive, whereas ahankaram, parichedam. Parichedam means limited. So ahankaram is limited with respect to space, with respect to time. So ahankaram has a period, period like one birth or the next birth. So ahankaram has a period. And like it has a time limitation as well. So whereas the self is unlimited. So just a brief look into these three. So parinamam. So ahankaram always changes. So we have anyway explained that the sakshi or the self doesn't have these three afflictions, whereas ahankaram has. That means ahankaram is different from the self. And I as the self, that means I, if we try to analyze this I, we will find out that this I doesn't have any parinamam, doesn't have any parichedam, doesn't have any paritapam. Soham kutu bhavati chinvata aipadatyaham nija vicharanam. When a person inquires as to who am I, then ahankara will drop off and the real self will remain behind. I don't have any changes, as we explained. I don't have any limitation. Do I have any limitation? No. How do we know I have no limitation? So we see like many cases of people achieving what they cannot really achieve. So people go to like 10 years or 5 years back, nobody would have even imagined that Obama will become president. He became president. Nobody would have thought that Indira Gandhi will become one of the greatest president. Prime Minister of India. She became. So many cases like that, like when Sachin Tendulkar, he struggled for 100 tests to score his first century. But nobody would have thought or imagined at that time that he would become like the highest scoring person in cricket. He'll like be the highest century scorer in cricket as well, because he scored his first century after 100 test matches. So nobody would have thought. So that means, that itself means that Parikshetam, I am not limited. I am like all bad, and Lakshmi Sarah has already said that I am Sarvagatam, I am all pervasive. So anything, limitation with respect to time, space or causation, nothing is limited. That's why nothing is impossible for a true aspirant of any goal. It's not with respect to Vedanta. Any goal, nothing is impossible. Everything is possible because my very nature is unlimited state. Therefore, Satyam Jnanam Anantam. So Anantam, I am unlimited. Therefore, I am not Ahankaram. Paritapam, Dukkam is not there at all. So anytime a sadhaka gets dukkha, immediately he has to try to analyze, immediately. So after learning this, immediately sadhaka will analyze. Say, okay, paridapai rupapalava, this is ahankaram, getting sad, why should I become sad? Why should I become sad like when something bad happens? Think bad, like if everything is one self, then what can be bad? There cannot be anything bad. So that means it is not me. So anyway, so aham or the self is, self has none of these associations, whereas ahankaram always has these. So that differentiates ahankaram from the self. So parinamam, ahankaram is constantly changing. Oh, body is changing, I can agree, but is ahankaram really changing? Definitely. Ahankaram changes each and every, we can say each and every minute. So today this I says like something, tomorrow this I will say something else. So today this eye of Obama says that, say, I am a Democrat. So there was, I forgot the name, there was a person who shifted from GOP or Republican Party to Democratic Party, a senator, and that happens. So people split, like in India it is common, like people split from one party and create their own party. People split from Congress and go to BJP. So all that happens, okay, don't shift to Dvaitam, so it's not accepted here. That option is not there. So anyway, so parinamam, it constantly changes each and every minute. We see, like we see, if we try to analyze, we can see these changes. We can see as to how this eye changes. This eye says something today, this eye changes immediately. So eye means like the eye is related to people, objects. So this eye, like if we think about it, this eye is wearing like one clothes now, tomorrow it's another clothes. It changes after 10 minutes when we go out for lunch. Different dress. Okay, not for you. So anyway, so it keeps on changing. So parinamam means like changes happen each and every minute. Each and every minute change happens with respect to this ahamkaram. So that is why, like, that's how we can find and we can differentiate easily. And limited. So limitation, we already discussed limited. Ahamkaram has a limitation with respect to everything. So ahamkaram, a person who has this ego sense, will not achieve anything in life. People who have achieved, like if we look at people who have achieved great heights in life, they all have been like one way or the other, they have differentiated themselves from ahamkaram. They don't know they are the self. Sachin Tendulkar, like the great giant, but he is also a great bhakta of Sai Baba. Gavaskar, same. So it's like there are few exceptions like Hitler, Napoleon and Alexander, but all of them, they had this big ego, and the big ego automatically falls down, becomes limited because they don't achieve greatness in life. So parichedam, this ahankaram, any person who has ahankaram will not be able to achieve. So that's why even in management and other things, like people will say, oh, don't bother about people. So don't bother about people, like look at the goal and focus. Focus more and more on it. So if we focus on the goal, that means we are not focusing on ourselves, focusing on people around us, focusing on I and mine, which means automatically we are differentiating ourselves from the ego. So ego sense, I am so and so means, that itself means I limit myself. Simple. I say I am so and so, that means I limit myself to whatever I say I am. If I say I am like 6 feet tall, automatically I am limiting myself to 6 feet. So a person like who wants to grow more, like put on more height, will not say that I am 6 feet tall. So of course, it's impossible. That is impossible. Putting on weight is easy. You don't have to do anything at all. Ahankaram, even if it is there or not, weight will go. So that's a different case. But still, in my think, like if we think or if we imagine that it is possible, if we assume it is possible, then anything is possible if there is no limitation. So ahankaram is each and every minute, like it is limited. And paritapam. So parinamam and parichedam, we may say, we can say, oh, change is part of life. Change is inevitable. So that's fine. I am fine with it. Parichedam, limited. Okay, I am fine with it. I have little hair, so I am fine with that. I have little height and I have little weight. Okay, I am fine with all of those. But are you fine with paritapam or afflictions of pain? Dukkam, which arise out of parinamam and parichedam. So all these three are interrelated. One there, the other will be there. Parinamam, change itself means it is limited. It itself means it is, it will have afflictions. And so all afflictions of pain and all those, like we may be fine with it, but one affliction that a person cannot live with is dukkam. So dukkam, like the very goal of life is to get rid of sorrow. So everyone like works in their own way. Everyone thinks of his or her own way to kill this dukkam, this sorrow. Many are, like most of the ways are failures. Whereas Vedanta gives us the way to overcome dukkam by seeing that this dukkam is with respect to ahankaram, whereas the self is a sakshi, which means sakshi, witnesshood itself means anandam. So that means ahankaram like will always have dukkam, at least that should in a way inspire us to be the sakshi atman, the all pervasive atman, not the ahankaram. So anytime we experience an I, like we should try to analyze, is this I limited? Is this I changing? Is this I sorrowful? So if this I is here, sorrow means, affliction of sorrow means, along with sorrow, happiness also comes in there. So happiness and sorrow both are part. So happiness, if a person gets whirled between happiness and sorrow, one second he is happy and the other second he is normal and then sad, and then it goes from happiness, sorrow and the intermediate state, then that means ahankaram is there. And it's okay, ahankaram will always be there, but whether we are identified with the ahankaram, that is the question. So as long as the world exists, individuality will be there. As long as the body is experienced, I also will be there. Nobody can get rid of this I, because can anyone get rid of water in desert? Definitely no, because there's no water in the first place. If it is seen, it will be seen. Nobody can get rid of it. There's no point in arguing. There's no point in trying to get rid of water. What a sadhaka has to do is assert water to be desert, differentiate water from desert. So a sadhaka has to separate himself from ahankaram at all points of time. So that is sakshi bhavam, that is trying to be the witness, trying to be the self. Once a person remains a sakshi, once a person abides as a self, then aham asmi sada bham kada achit naham apriyah brahmaiva aham atasiddham sachidananda lakshanam, anandam will come out of it. So there are many ways to experience this sakshi bhavam. And Amma says it is just trying to understand everything to be Ishvara's will. Everything has Ishvara in it. So including Ishvara in everything, that is one way to get rid of parinamam, parichedam, paritapam, which means getting rid of ahankaram. If everything is one Ishvara, ahankaram is not at all there. Or always, whenever something is happening, this is just the doing of ahankaram. I am a witness. So one is witness hood, the second is trying to see everything as Ishvara. Both are one and the same, both are almost the same. It's actually when a person is a witness of everything, then that will automatically lead to the truth. That what is truth? Truth is that all these, like I'm a witness of all these, means all these are not at all there. All these are there only if the witness is there. So which means they are just illusions in the witness. So they are not at all there, they are only an illusion. So both perspectives are fine. What is essential is including Ishvara. So whether that Ishvara is like all pervasive Brahman, or whether that Ishvara is I, or the self inside me, that is a question, or that is like something that the sadhaka can decide for himself. So Sakshi or I as Brahman is tough to implement, because it's very tough to implement, as we said like earlier, it is very tough to implement because Ahankaram is already there posing as I. So it is tough. So many times we may think we are implementing Sakshi Bhavam, whereas we may be just the ego. So we will do foolish things thinking that we are Sakshi, and then like a fool will do everything, and then he will laugh and think, oh, I am great, I am so great. I have spoken for 1 hour on Advaita Makaranda. I am great. I am a Sakshi. But I am great. I am a Sakshi. But I am great. So that is how it will be. Immediately the next day, there is no Advaita Makaranda. And then, oh, I thought I was great. But what happened? I am a Sakshi. But still, what happened? I want to know. It is just inquisitive nature. I just want to know what happened. So that will happen. So Sakshi Bhavam is not simple. Sakshi Bhavam is very tough, but it is very easy to implement that everything is Ishvara. So when we think Sarvan with all pervasive Ishvara, Ishvara alone exists, all pervasive Ishvara, that is a very easy way to implement. And when a person really remembers in his mind that everything is one Ishvara, automatically no preferences, no aham and mama, which are signs of the ego. So there is no aham and mama, there are no preferences, there is no limitation, there is no dukkham, because everything is Ishvara. So one can be said to be jnana margam, one can be said to be bhakti margam. So as Ramakrishna Paramahansa used to say, naham naham tvam tvam. So naham naham, not me, not me, only you are there. So that is a very easy way to get rid of ahankaram. Whereas if we are trying to implement Jnana Margam, so there are many people like who think they are in Jnana Margam, they try to implement Sakshi Bhavam, but they are in a way they are feeding the ego gets fed more, and the more the ego gets fed, it's like a person growing and growing and growing and growing. So the eye will become very huge, yet not that huge to become all pervasive. So if this I becomes all pervasive, then it is fine. Such an ego is accepted. Tonunnaragil agilam jnanidannagai tonename varada narayanayanama. Eluthachan says that if I have to have ego, O Ishvara, give me that ego, that which makes me feel as if this entire world is mine. So like Mahatma states, like Amma considers this entire world as her own property. So that means such an ego, which is all pervasive ego means Ishvara, which means no ego at all. So such a state is fine, but the ego will not grow to that level. Ego will grow to an extent, still maintaining its individuality. Therefore, Jnana Margam or trying to be a Sakshi may not be really feasible. Of course, I am not saying that a person has to follow this, has to follow that. There is nothing like that in Vedanta. Ultimately, whether I am following Sakshi Bhavam or whether I am remembering Ishvara, am I getting rid of Ahankaram? Ahankaram means, am I getting rid of Dukkham? Am I happy? Am I blissful? Am I peaceful? That is the question that a sadhaka has to ask. If after implementing Sakshi Bhavam for a couple of days, I don't experience bliss, then it is not worth it. We'll have to try out the other way. And if like everything is Ishvara is not giving us bliss, then we'll have to again use Sakshi Bhavam. Oh, I tried both, still I don't get bliss. Oh, then the simplest way is go to a bar, drink fully, you'll get bliss, because there is no other way a person can get bliss. If after learning the entire Vedanta or Vedantic ways, different ways that Vedanta gives, different sadhana that Vedanta gives, a sadhaka is not able to get bliss at all, not even least in, or at least glimpses. So as it is said, like if we do bhajan for 5 hours or 3 hours, like 1 second, that is what a person will get the bliss of the Atman. Because it's not easy to get rid of ahankaram, it's not easy to get rid of duality that easily. So it will be like for one moment, but that one moment of bliss is enough. So that may will make a person sing more and more bhajan, enter into it more and more. So dhyanam, we may think dhyanam, oh, so great. But dhyanam, like if we sit for half an hour or 1 hour, we'll get 1 minute of real dhyanam. So what we do is dharana, we are trying to focus, we are not focused. Focused mind is meditation. Whereas we are trying to focus, so that means one thought, when it comes, that is dhyanam. So for an entire session or entire implementation of dhyanam for 1 hour or 2 hours, we'll get hardly 1 minute. But at 1 second, even one moment is enough to make us do more and more dhyanam. So at least that, whether a sadhaka is getting, a sadhaka will get if properly a sadhaka follows it, else a sadhaka will not be able to get. If that is not achieved, then Advaita Makaranda will not be of any use. Will be in Vedanta itself will be of no use, there will be no anandam. So ultimate goal is, I am Ananda Surupam and not a suffering ego. We'll continue later. Namaskara. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamadachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha.